The spiritual thread that runs through today's readings is redemption. Joshua and the Israelites finally arrive outside the city of Jericho after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness and 40 years of eating manna, that flaky substance that sifted down from the sky each morning, which they gathered up and made into little cakes. Can you imagine eating the same thing for that long? That and quail? I mean, even donuts would get old after a while. But they have arrived in the promised land of Canaan. After being shriven in the wilderness of their sin and redeemed in God's eyes, they taste the produce of the land. The narrator of Psalm 32 rejoices at having been forgiven by God. "Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my guilt. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Then you forgave me the guilt of my sin." And Paul, writing to those unruly Corinthians, urges them to change their ways. "We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new." A clean slate is what redemption offers, forgiveness and a change of heart. And then, of course, there is the story of the prodigal son. So here we are on the fourth Sunday in Lent, Laetare Sunday, Rejoice Sunday, Rose Sunday, halfway through the season, when we take a breather from austerity and contemplation to celebrate the promise of salvation whose reminder arrives again 3 weeks from today. It seems to me the perfect Sunday to hear the parable of the prodigal son, his father and brother. A profoundly moving story of redemption in the face of sin and suffering. If you look at Rembrandt's painting on the cover of your bulletin, The Return of the Prodigal Son, sorry that our office printer runs a little dark for what is already a chiaroscuro painting, the story is laid out in all its poignancy in that painting. The light in the image glows brightest on the father's loving face and hands, but also on the shaved head and rags of the son, the sole of his left foot, and the broken sandal of his right. Because these are the places in the story where God's grace shines. The father's compassion and forgiveness, the son's desperation and suffering that cause him to come to his senses and return to beg forgiveness. In the equation of redemption, you need both sides, the open embrace of mercy and the acknowledgement of your desperate need to reconcile and run into that embrace. Less bright, but still quite present in the painting, is the other son, the older son's face to the right, looking down unsmiling, back rigid, hands clasped in judgment. This triangle of relationships is one that plays out in all our lives at one point or another. Haven't you strayed away from God for a season or for years, lost your way? Haven't you needed to ask forgiveness sometime of God or of someone in your life? And haven't you withheld reconciliation from someone, held a grudge, or needed to stew in your resentment for just a little longer before you would bestow forgiveness? And have you ever had to forgive someone, to let go of the hurt you were caused, or the rightness of your side of things, and be reconciled? I find it fascinating that each of these sides of the triangle have their joys and their pains. It hurts to know you've wronged another and feel ashamed. It's painful to hold on to that stone of resentment in your gut. And it's hard to let go of being right and to unconditionally forgive. But it also feels good to sin and to resent and to know you're right. Redemption is what happens when you let go of what feels good, admit and work through what is painful, and embrace the other and be reconciled. The reason this parable is so powerful is that its message runs deep in our psyche. We long to break free and live dissolute lives of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. But we are told to suppress those urges. We resent having to always be responsible and work hard. But we are told we must reject such thoughts and just get on with it. Freedom versus responsibility, sin versus righteousness, condemnation versus forgiveness. It's all there and it's all so deep. In our readings this week from our Lenten book, The Word in the Wilderness, the author discusses Dante's Divine Comedy, that trilogy from the 1300s that depicts hell, purgatory, and heaven. This quote reminded me of our parable. The Divine Comedy, and indeed our own spiritual life, is not about rejection or suppression. It is about redemption. Our spiritual life is a constant cycle of going astray and returning home again, of resenting and forgiving. And redemption, we are told in every reading this morning, redemption requires engagement. You can't just check out of this pattern, this struggle to be good, and still have a spiritual life worth living. I close with a story that has been on my heart since last Sunday. I went down to Santa Cruz after services here and had lunch with a clergy colleague whom I hadn't seen in a long time. In the past few years, they have come out as transgender non-binary, which I think means transgender, doing something to change your physical substance or outward presentation that brings you closer to your inner being, and non-binary, not self-defining as either male or female. So one is a physical acknowledgement of who you really are, and the other is more a response in your soul to your true self. And they mix. Though I have had transgender friends and acquaintances in the past, I must admit I've kept my distance to a certain extent because they sometimes make me uncomfortable. That may be why I hadn't seen this friend for a few years. I confessed this to them, and by the way, their preferred pronoun is they, them, but they encouraged me not to get too hung up on having to say the right thing because I previously knew them as him. I confessed this to them, my having maybe stayed away from them for comfort's sake, and they laughed and said it was okay. I was forgiven. Then I asked them a bit about their journey. They said, "I've known since I was little, but I had religious conservative parents who said God loved everyone unconditionally, but in their actions and words showed the exact opposite. So basically, at age 14, I stopped having any emotions. I shut them down. Literally, I assumed that part of being a grown-up was not having feelings. And I stayed that way for 25 years. I got married to a woman. We adopted some children. I became a priest and got a PhD in ethics, but I was shut down." As they told their story, and knowing that I'd be preaching today on the prodigal son, I realized my friend had their own version of running away from their true home. Through no fault of their own, they felt they had to absent themselves from their true self, to go away. But unlike the prodigal son, they did not spend their years in dissolute living. They spent their years dead. Then something happened in their life, an event occurred, which unfortunately I don't have permission to share. And like the prodigal son, he came to himself. He realized who he really was and what he'd been avoiding. And from that moment, there was no turning back. They started treatments, came out to their family and congregation, and were embraced, and started feeling once again. And I have to say, the difference between the him I knew a number of years ago and the they I had lunch with last Sunday is astonishing. And I don't even mean physically. In their countenance, in their face, they were glowing. From a gentle voice, relaxed and solid and grounded and loving and sweet, my friend relayed their life story. It was a far cry from what I now realize was a man I once knew who was hiding so much of themselves from the world, exiled by a world that still stares in the streets at them, with their beard, their long hair, and their breasts. Towards the end of our meal, I asked, "So, isn't it kind of hard to live and walk around as you are?" "You mean with a beard and boobs?" they laughed. "Yeah. It's hard as ass," they said, and I quote, "But you know, I am myself now. It feels amazing and right and good, and there is no way I'm going back. This is who I am, and this is who God loves, just as I am. And I can't be responsible anymore for other people's discomfort or their resentment or their fear. I've got to be me." So we embraced and parted ways, and I was so grateful for our own little reconciliation. You will find yourself at different points in your life, a prodigal child, a resentful sibling, a forgiving parent. Remember that God would have you reconciled to whatever or whomever you needed to be with. That God longs to embrace you and redeem you from whatever paths you have taken that have kept you away. Don't let your life go by without starting on that journey back to your true home. Amen.